everybody. Welcome to On the Bima, where we chat with Jewish theater makers from around the world about their art, Judaism, and vision for theater's future. I'm your host, Danielle Levski. This podcast is brought to you by the Alliance for Jewish Theater, a nonprofit organization made up of theater artists, theaters, and other people connected to theater to promote the creation, presentation, and preservation of both traditional and non-traditional theatrical endeavors by, for, and about the Jewish experience. Today, we are calling to the Bima casting director, Daryl Eisenberg, who is based in New York, New York. It is such an honor to have you on our show today, Daryl.
Thank you for having me. I don't think I've been called to the Bima since the Bat Mitzvah.
Perfect. You know, actually, you're the first person to say that since we switched over the name, which is very funny. I thought it would be a joke that more people would make, but thank you for being the first one to make it.
Glad I made the obvious one.
Yes, thank you. So I wanted to talk to you about your incredible career. You had this enormous range of projects across theater, TV, film, new media. I'm curious how you approach casting and how it differs between these different mediums. What do you find are unique opportunities and challenges that present themselves for the different mediums? For theater, for instance, which is live and in person versus on camera projects.
Yeah. So I never understood how someone would want to live in the world of casting and stick only to one medium. I think it's the variety of projects that I work on that makes the day interesting. And that also helps me see actors in their fullest versions of themselves. So for me, it always came naturally to live cross medium, and my sort of upbringing in casting varied. I bounced from theater to film to episodic so fluidly. But yeah, it looks that there are very few offices that really live pretty evenly across mediums. You know, folks are known for their theater work or their film work or for their episodic work and nary the three shall mix. And that always struck me as silly because actors are actors are actors. And so some of the most interesting casting work I think I do is pulling actors cross medium and getting folks who spent 7 years on a series, they're dying to go do a play, or someone who's been like the sidekick in a film over and over again. Like the notion of doing a podcast is really fun to them, or, you know, folks who like have Tony noms out the wazoo, but like just have no on-camera footage. You know, one of my favorite little shorts, a short film that I cast, we cast the entire thing between Christmas and New Year's. It was a three-hander and our entire cast had Tony nominations. And like, that was just silly to me because like, if I were talking to a theater producer, these would be like fairly ungettable names. But for a short film shooting out of town, I think they shot in Kentucky. Sure, let's get some Tony noms in this. So I like that part of casting cross medium because you can get actors to do really exciting things outside of what they're traditionally known for. And that's kind of why the actor wants to do it, is they get to stretch their muscles. So from that perspective, like it just feels so natural to live across all mediums. And it doesn't really change much of what I do. I think maybe the timeline on each project is a little different. I mean, episodic things happen in 24 hours. Films happen in a matter of weeks, and theater can sometimes take 8 years to see it come to life. But outside of that, it's the same process, right? I read a script. I decide, do I love this? Do I want to champion this? Am I the right cheerleader for this project? Am I the right casting director for this project? And if the answer is yes, then I talk to the creative team. We come up with common vocabulary and language for the world that we're building. And then we source the actors in whatever methodology we're needing through offer lists or through an audition process or through a big search for non-traditional actors, whatever it may be. But that's not limited by whatever medium I'm in. That's the process, regardless of the medium. That's just how casting goes. So it doesn't really change much for me. And especially in the past 4 years, theater has felt so much like a film process in ways, because our round one is almost always going to be a self-tape, the same way it's been in film for quite some time. So in that sense, they've gotten even closer in terms of process than ever before, for better or for worse.
Very interesting. That makes me curious. If you're looking at actors across different mediums and you're very cross-functional this way, right? You're pulling actors from different mediums to come join other mediums. What do you look for overall holistically in an audition that tells you that an actor is really connecting with the material and the medium?
Sure. So I want to see a general level of skill. Like, can they get to where we need them to be in what's on the page? If it's musical theater, then it's like, can they sing those notes? Do they have the skill to navigate the emotional beats? But I'm lucky that I'm at a place in my career where, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm meeting actors who that's a given. Yes, they have the skill. That's why they're in contention for the projects we're working on. And so then after that, I find the most interesting part of casting is is this the version of the story that we're telling? Because every actor tells a unique version of the story. It's the character through the lens of them. And so then we get to decide, is this the version that we're leaning into? And sometimes we don't know what the answer is, and we're exploring the different versions of these characters and of this world based on what an actor's bringing to the table. And that's when I think casting really gets to come alive. It's not just a looking for the one person who can sing the note. It's, okay, yes, everyone can hit those notes. So then which is the story that is most exciting and most alive and most relevant? And then, of course, and I think we'll talk about this in a little bit, like, is this the right actor to tell the story? Is this their story to tell? So it sort of cuts both ways. Is this their story to tell? And is this the story we want to follow for the, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours, 7 years on a series, whatever the journey is we have to take with that actor?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point. In fact, let's get into that portion right now. I think you bring it up and it's vital. I'm curious, as a Jewish casting director, how do you feel about discussions around diversity and representation when it comes to casting specific characters and stories of a particular ethnic or racial or religious background? I guess in particular for this podcast, casting Jewish characters and stories. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm doing this. Like, these are the conversations I've been hoping to be having my whole casting career, and where I used to have to walk on eggshells just to broach the topic, now it's the first thing out of the gate that we're talking about, which is thrilling that I no longer have to feel, and not antagonistic, but like trying not to ruffle feathers just by asking questions about representation, diversity. Whose story is this? Who is this character? What are our boundaries here? Those used to be really sensitive and hard conversations to start, and I'm no longer the one starting them, which is lovely. I think everyone walks into a casting conversation, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how we can achieve racial parity on stage, gender parity on stage. How do we get to a place where everyone is represented and represented well? And now it's just become a much more thrilling part of the conversation, and there's less anxiety about having it. So that it's just watching that evolution in my casting career has been breathtaking. And there's still leaps and bounds to go, but just I can appreciate how far we have come in talking about it. And I look at casts from things that were not that long ago, and you're like, that would never be the cast today. I would never see that on stage or in a film. Like, we just made this. And so it just feels so foreign now to look back at casts that had existed, and nobody questioned the diversity of the cast or why, you know, people in leadership roles were all male. And like, you look back now, you're like, that we were never doing this again. And that's lovely. And I will say, I've become skilled about having these conversations about race, about gender, about ability, and about even like sexuality, like the all sorts of conversations. But the Jewish representation, I find, has become the trickiest conversation to have, because Jewish means so many things to so many different people, and to Jews and to non-Jews. And so it's still, I think, one of the more sensitive conversations I have to have in casting regarding representation and whose story is this to tell. And I am fortunate to have cast, especially as of late, a ton of Jewish-minded projects. I mean, like, I had a film that's called Menorah in the Middle. Like, I don't know that you can get more Jewish than that. And just those are, I think, the hardest conversations I've had in casting, because I don't know where the right answer is. I don't know that there is a right answer. This is Jewish ethnicity. Is it religion? Is it practice? You know, in Judaism, if you convert to Judaism, you're a Jew. You've always been a Jew. But what does that look like? Does it look like what you're expecting to see on stage in a story that's set in a historical setting? Do we have a Black Tevye in Fiddler? What if that Black Tevye is actually Jewish? Does it matter? And you'll get really strong opinions from Jews and from non-Jews in the collaboration process. So I'm not going to sit here and say, I've got the answer about how to cast Jewish roles, because I don't. And every project is different. Every project's needs are different. I just worked on a play that is a Jewish story. Like, it's very Jewish, but also not a Jewish story. It's an immigrant story, and it lives where it lives, but it's historical. And it's very fairly historically accurate. These people look like what you would imagine if you were to look at a snapshot from turn of the century Jewish immigrants into America. And there's no diversity on stage. But for this play, that was the need of the play. And so it's a tricky conversation, because part of me is like, a whole bunch of white people on stage. Ah! But also, like, that's the need of this play in this time right now as a world premiere. Perhaps when it's done regionally, there'll be different solutions on what that cast is going to be and look like. I'm just talking in circles. I'm not giving an answer because there's no answer to give. Like, what is casting a Jewish person? There's going to be an infinite amount of definitions as to what that is. I will say, most of the time, the mandate for the project is we are going to cast Jewish identifying people to play Jewish identifying roles. Most of the time, not all of the time. And that becomes tricky too, because has someone proclaimed their Jewishness in public in a place that we can source it out? Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes I'm scrolling Instagram to see if someone has ever posted a, you know, Hanukkah picture. Sometimes that's happened. And then sometimes that's not the question that we can ask. And so it's, do they represent themselves as someone who is Jewish identifying? We're going to take that at face value and we can't prod any further. This person thinks this is their story to tell. And there's just no right answer, but it's been the most complicated conversations to have. And I'm working on just an abundance of projects with Jewish themes. And it's going to be the director, the producer, me, the playwright, or the writer in conversation to figure out what feels right for this moment in time, for this specific project, for the needs of that role. I'll say that the trickiest conversation I think I have had, sort of adjacent to casting Jewish identifying roles, is casting Nazis in Nazi uniforms in Sound of Music and plays and musicals and all sorts of situations. And what do they look like? What does it mean to cast an actor of color in a role like that? And those have become some of the most nuanced conversations I've had. And generally, usually an actor gets involved in the conversation too, of where their comfort level is to be portraying a Nazi, especially a Nazi in uniform. It's so tricky. And there's, I don't know. I think that if I were to say this is how I feel today, in 5 years, I'll look back and go, ooh, Daryl, what were you thinking? The same way I hope that people look back at projects from the 1990s and early 2000s and go, ooh, what were we thinking?
Information that at the time.
Yeah. And I think that's the joy of casting, is that every project's new, every process starts over, and we learn and we grow and we evolve. Yeah. It's made me glad that I am working on so many Jewish-centered stories, because with every project, we get more and more nuanced about what it means to have Jewish representation on stage and where that lives within sort of the world of the actor and where it lives outside the world of the actor. It's a Jewish story on stage, and that in and of itself is enough.
That's very interesting. That makes me think about how important the intent is of the artistic team altogether. Like, for instance, if you have a Jewish story about the turn of the century, about immigrants coming from Eastern Europe, it would make sense in one version of the play to cast a white presenting cast, because that is what those immigrants look like, right? On the other hand, if the artistic team wanted to show a parallel or like draw comparisons to other immigrant communities, it might make sense to cast actors of color. It might make sense to look at other non-Ashkenazi Jewish identities, like Mizrahi and Asian, etc., and see like how you can find parallels there. So it is a very fascinating conversation with no one answer. Thank you for sharing your experience about that. I am curious, to get a little bit more specific, has there been a recent example of a project where you felt the casting process really successfully prioritize diversity and authentic representation? And what made that process effective for you?
I'm lucky to say that almost all of my projects lately, I feel really good about having authentic and diverse representation for the projects. I generally won't come onto a project if I don't feel like the team is going to get us to where we need to be to have that authenticity. So, I mean, I'm really excited about all of them, even in this play at turn of the century with an all-white cast, but it's a beautiful cast and there's really authentic Jewish representation on stage. And it's one of the most lovely stories I've ever been privileged to get to share. I have another Jewish-centered musical, and we had a lovely, diverse cast of Jewish identifying performers, and nobody looked alike, but yet they were all celebrating their Jewishness. And that was really exciting to have Jews of color and Jews of all ages who all lived and breathed the heart of this story. That was really lovely. I've had stories where we've lived in a fantasy world of like under the sea with like mermaids and pirates. And the joy, it was a reading, and the joy that these two actors had, because they both walked in, they're like, we never get to do a project together because we're both big, strong Black women. And there's never two of us in a cast. And so that was just really exciting to be like, oh, like that in and of itself was new and exciting. And to me, it was just like two actors I'm really, really fond of and would hire in a heartbeat for anything. And to have them together singing in harmony, like, oh joy. They like took it upon themselves to come find me and tell me that that was new and exciting for them. So yeah, I think I'm just fortunate that like the tide has turned. These conversations happen in earnest, and our directors, our writers, our producers are making good on those conversations. And, you know, I used to really strive to get to a point of diversity on stage where I didn't feel uncomfortable. And now it's like, that's a given. Like, we just care about having a really fantastic cast that represents the world around us. And we're hitting that mark on every single project now, which is really, really lovely. So I don't want to like single out any one project, because they all are. My teams have all just been absolutely delightful in having those conversations and putting it into action. It's a world of difference from just, you know, a decade ago.
And I'm curious too, we've talked so much about Jewish representation on stage and how you've approached that, as well as with other folks of different backgrounds. How has your Jewish identity informed or influenced your work as a casting director?
You know, in the way that my Jewish identity informs everything I do, of just about living in the world and treating others the way I want to be treated and treating the earth the way I, you know, leaving it better than how I found it. I think that helps just center what we're doing, which is we're telling stories, which is like how Judaism began, right? We shared our stories, we shared our history in the hopes that it lives on. You know, I'm not doing brain surgery, right? I'm not building literal bridges. I'm meeting actors and finding places for them in scripted projects. Like, it feels fluffy, but then I kind of remind myself, but those are the stories that are going to live on, that these are the time capsules we're leaving behind of who we were as a society in the moment this piece of art was made. You know, we can go to museums and look at art from a long, long time ago and learn lots. And like, this is our version of that fingerprint we're leaving. And I get to be a tiny little part of that. And so that's a bit about how I can like rationalize, like, this is how we make the world a better place. This is my version of Tikkun Olam, is to have good art in the world being told by the right people and telling the right stories for our time and elevating the right voices. So in our current day, people's hearts can be open to the themes of whatever our project is about. And hopefully in the future, this art can live on as pure and good and informative and emotional. And, you know, my grandchildren can watch that film and still feel the joy in the same way I watch films my grandparents watched and still feel that joy. You know, I think there's a saying, like, you know, I you can't change people's minds. Like, you have to reach them through their hearts or through their stomachs. And so like, this is my way of thinking, like, I can't argue someone into having a political view, but I can present art where they can get immersed in a story and a narrative and have empathy for characters. And maybe that will help them change their minds. Like, one of the most impactful things I think has existed in our generation, it was like Modern Family, because it just helped normalize so many relationships, like multiracial relationships, same gender relationships, to part of our society that maybe hadn't had that normalized just yet. And so like, in that way, Modern Family changed the world, right? So why can't theater? Why can't art? So I think that's how my Jewishness connects. I think it helps. My last name is Eisenberg. So lo and behold, people come and find me for lots of Jewish projects. I get it. But like, I worked on lots of projects that centered Jesus too. And those are also really interesting for me in ways of learning about perhaps a part of a story that I didn't know as well, or finding the same connection of like, oh, I know this because this lives in me in a different way, but it's the same truth. It's the same course of action. It's the same way of living. And that can be equally as exciting working on non-Jewish products as a Jewish person, because then you're finding like the interconnectedness of all of us. And how is this project for an audience outside of someone who practices that religion? How does a Jew come into this audience and feel safe and enveloped and connected to the piece? And so those can be equally as exciting to me, is because I am now not the insider, I am the other. And how do we make that great for everybody? There's been many a balance of like, I'm working on a project about Jesus and also working on a project about World War II. This is going to be great. And that's the balance. That's the fun of it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a great answer. I feel like we went on such a journey. It made me think about something interesting, where in my own work as a clown and physical theater artist, I read about how mime was utilized in Nazi Germany to tell stories that were censored on stage. So I completely agree with you. I feel like this art form, performance, whether it lives on film or on a stage or elsewhere, it connects us all. It exposes our hearts rather than our minds to something greater, something that we can all connect to. And it's interesting how historically, throughout years and ages of various oppressions, we found ways of sharing somebody's experience uniquely in their own way, regardless of some kind of guardrails. So I think the work you're doing is amazing and super impactful and will continue to live on.
That's the hope. That's why we spend day in and day out doing what we do. Like that someone somewhere is going to watch it and just feel a little differently at the end.
Yes, exactly. On a slightly less positive note, I am curious to hear about what kinds of challenges or barriers you've seen Jewish artists, theater artists, or filmmakers, et cetera, experience in the industry. You mentioned that, you know, 10 years ago, you were having very different conversations about representation than you are now. I'm curious how those things have evolved, if there are still certain challenges or barriers present for Jewish artists.
I mean, did you hear the story about a Jewish actor in the UK who couldn't leave the theater because of protests outside? And that was a few days ago. So I think there are still challenges. I think where we are now is a scarier place than where we were before October. And some artists are being very loud and proud about their Jewishness, and others are simply not. And that's hard and scary. You know, the protests outside the opening of parade. I mean, it's just, for me, it's less about the casting and more about just being a Jew in the world right now is difficult and hard. You know, I try to stay and engage in my community, and, you know, I see posts about someone saying, like, let's find all the Zionists and make sure they never work again. And that's a scary thing to see in my industry. It's uncomfortable. I don't have the luxury of hiding that I am Jewish. I think it's like just, I don't pass the sniff test. My last name's Eisenberg. I look how I look. Like I'm so clearly Jewish. And so it's I just find that the world has become a bit more of a sensitive journey for Jews and respecting those who are not necessarily comfortable being outwardly proudly Jewish right now. And although that's not my choice, I'm choosing to be outwardly proud and Jewish right now. That's not necessarily a comfort level for everybody. And finding respect for that personal decision and having just all sorts of conversations about topics that are not casting, are barely Jewish, they're Israeli, which I don't want to conflate these two things. And those conversations are happening in spaces that, you know, I'm glad there's discussion, but sometimes it gets to a point of this conversation needs to end before, you know, this friendship has to end. So yeah, it's less about difficulty in casting and necessarily even difficulty in the arts. I think there's been an uptick of anti-Semitism since, 2016, and we're seeing it even more now, and it's getting scarier. My oldest is going off to college, and the conversation she's starting to engage in with future classmates is uncomfortable and concerning. And yeah, it's something outside of just theater, just film, just casting. It's become a difficult journey for so many of us right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, it's very hard to be a Jewish person out in the world right now, regardless what your views are on global conflicts. It's trying to find ways to make art and talk about your experience without having others impose or assume certain things about your worldview. So it definitely becomes a part of the daily conversation, even when you're trying to just focus on We have this project. We would like to think about how we tell this particular story. We would like to think about how we cast this particular project in terms of who we're representing. It becomes a greater conversation of like what's happening in the world right now, personal views and how that interacts with the people we're working with. I can see how it can be incredibly multifaceted and complicated. Yeah. Well, looking towards the future, what are you most excited about in the future of casting and in the theater and entertainment industry more broadly? What are you hoping you'll see more of in the next 5 to 10 years?
I hope that I am not the only woman at the table. It's gotten a lot better, but sometimes I still am. I'm not young anymore. When I started in casting, I was like hiding my age young, couldn't get into bars for cast parties young. I'm not anymore. And yet sometimes I'm still the youngest person in the room, which is ridiculous. Like, I'm a good generation past where I started, and why is there not a next generation sitting next to me now? So yeah, I mean, I think if I had a wish for the future is I no longer want to be the only woman, and I no longer want to be the youngest person in the room. Like, that would be exciting for me in all sorts of ways. I'm excited to see a new variety of voices whose stories are getting told, a new variety of voices who are helping support those stories getting told, finding producers that are women, finding producers that are producers of color, that are young. I think that's been an exciting shift that we're starting to see, and I want to see more of it. You know, the people behind the table and making the decisions need to be as diverse and authentic and representative as the people that we're putting on the stage. And I've seen the changes of our cast lists. I haven't seen the changes in our crew list. So I think that's a place. And what did Rachel Chavkin say? Like, it's not a pipeline issue. It's just not. And so, yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see the change of diversity, gender, and age outside of just our cast.
Beautiful. I think that's a wonderful wish towards a more equitable future. Thanks so much for joining us today, Daryl.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to On the Bima. A special thanks to Danny Debner, our technical producer, Ilya Levinson and Alex Kaufman, the composers of our theme music, and the entire Alliance for Jewish Theater community. This podcast was brought to you by the Alliance for Jewish Theater. If you like what you've heard today, support this podcast and all of our initiatives towards connecting Jewish theater makers by making a tax-deductible donation to Alliance for Jewish Theater at allianceforjewishtheater.org or joining as a member. Make sure to give us a review on iTunes and learn more about us at alljewishtheater.org. I'm your host, Danielle Levski, and I'll chat with you next time. L'chaim.